You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
OBM, Ohio Business Machines, preferred copier provider of the Cleveland Browns. You know that every day is game day in your office. Call 216-485-2000 or visit ohiobusinessmachines.com today. And we go to the Ohio Business Machine hotline right now and welcome in from Cleveland.com and the Cleveland Plain dealer, Mary Kay Cabot. Mary Kay, how are you doing today?
I'm fine. How you doing?
I'm good. Happy to have you here on CBD. You broke the story earlier today. The Browns in the hunt for Darrell Revis. What's the latest there?
Well, you know, I think the thing that makes this significant is the fact that Darrell Revis loved playing for Mike Pett. Most people would probably look at this and think, why would he want to come from a Super Bowl winning team and come to the Cleveland Browns, who no one knows if they're going to contend right away? So I think, you know, people might be chuckling about this a little tiny bit, but when you look into it, you realize he loved playing for Mike Pettine. They have a very good relationship. He also played for defensive coordinator Jim O'Neill, so this has some legs.
Mary Kay, at this point right now, again, after just breaking the story, what is the probability on something like this actually happening? Is it under 50%, or is it just kind of the ball is just getting rolling now?
Well, you know what? I would say it's probably under 50% at this point, and I think I'm probably saying that only because, you know, like a lot of other people, I probably feel like he would want to either re-sign with the Patriots and have an opportunity to go back to the Super Bowl again, or, you know, the Jets are really going to get into the mix, and he loves being in New York and loves playing for the Jets. But, you know, don't count the Browns out. Again, I would put it at under 50% right now, but it's not something that's just a frivolous thing. He really would seriously consider
it's
playing.
It's legitimate is what you're trying to say, correct?
Yeah, okay. It's legit. Mm-hmm.
Certainly would be interesting to see Revis and Hayden out there as the Browns opening day starting corners. Mary Kay, what else are you hearing about this Browns team? Who are they interested in? Who do you see as some realistic possibilities for this team to bring in here in free agency once it opens at 4?
You know, oddly enough, I haven't heard very much at all, and I've been, you know, really working the phones really hard trying to find things out. But one thing that I am looking into today, you know, Buster might have a deal, but I don't know who it's with yet. I don't know if, you know, if it's with the Browns, if it's with someone else. So that's something to really look at today. If they lose Buster, you know, then they're going to even go a little harder after Darrell Revis. So, you know, kind of keep an eye on that one. I think they're going to lose most of their guys. We did know that they wanted to talk to Ed Dixon, the tight end from Panthers. But other than that, you know, like any type of big name guys, I think they've done some of their bigger things already in terms of Josh McCown, Brian Hartline. Now, they did have Trent Colin, and I know they would have loved to have signed him. However, I hear he's probably going to end up signing with the Colts. But, you know, nothing's written in stone yet. Nobody's allowed to finalize those deals until 4 o'clock.
That's at 4 o'clock today when the free agency window officially opens. Talk with Mary Kay Cabot from Cleveland.com, the Cleveland Plain dealer. We know Brian Hoyer looked like he's going to Houston. We've heard Jabal Sheard linked pretty heavily to Tampa Bay. Any idea on, you know, you talked about Buster having a deal. You don't know who that's with. The teams that are perhaps after a guy like Buster Screen, where the Browns free agents themselves are going to end up here?
Well, you know, the Jets have been one team that have been mentioned in connection with Buster, but I don't know, you know, I really don't know where that's at this point. And you know, maybe some of it will depend upon whether or not they can get their hands on a Darrell Revis or another cornerback. I do think they need one. I mean, they really do need one. You don't know what you're going to get from Justin Gilbert this year. And if you lose Buster, you have to get, you know, at least one or two other good ones. So not sure how that will all play out yet. But in terms of, you know, like Jordan Cameron, they've got to get a tight end now. Is Ed Dixon going to come in here and replace a Jordan Cameron as a deep threat in the passing game? No. So, you know, they need to find somebody. Either they have some very serious plans to draft a tight end, or they're going to have to see if they can still hang on to Jordan Cameron. But I haven't heard anything about Jordan Cameron, really, to be honest with you. You know, by now you would think that we would have heard other teams coming hard after him. So who knows with that one?
Mary Kay, we're actually going to play some of the Mike Pettine sound bites from last night's auto show, but what were some of your key takeaways from your time with Mike Pettine?
Well, you know, we had him for about 7 minutes after, I know that WKNR interviewed him, and then the beat reporters got him for another 7 minutes. You know, he talked a little bit about Justin Gilbert. He talked about Johnny Manziel, you know, revealed that Johnny is still in rehab, which I think that's great. I guess I was actually a little concerned that maybe, you know, he would try to do the minimum sort of a 28-day program. I didn't feel like that would be enough. You know, I just think that the age that he's at, that he's going to need a long time to try to get this thing sorted out so that he can come out here and make it stick. So I thought that was really good news. You know, I think he did discuss a little bit about Justin Gilbert and, you know, him working out down with Joe Hayden, and that is a good thing. But, you know, I don't think that you can 100% count on either of those guys. But those were a couple of things. And then probably one of the biggest things was that he really did confirm, and I've been writing this, that they are counting on Josh McCown to start for them next year in 2015. And that, you know, that really is the plan. Now, does that mean that they won't sign another quarterback or that they won't draft one? No. Any of those things can happen. But they did not bring Josh McCown in here to hold Johnny Manziel's hand.
They certainly did not. They think he can play. Mike Pettine made that clear yesterday at the Auto Show. Mary Kay, who do you want? If you were the GM, that's one of our hot topics today, who would you want if you could control what the Browns are going to do here in free agency? Who would be your top target?
Oh, you know what? So many of the guys that I thought would be good for the Browns are either headed somewhere else by now, or they will be wrapped up to new deals very soon, or they re-signed with their own teams. There were some cornerbacks that you would have thought, you know, that they could go after, like a Brandon Flowers, a Kareem Jackson, somebody like that. You know, a Jermaine Gresham. These guys are players that I just don't think are headed this way. But if I had to pick... you know, I thought Trent Cole would have been a great signing. You know, just in terms of character and wanting to kind of enjoy being back in Ohio and a pass rusher, it's hard to find a good pass rusher. It really is. And if you lose Jabal, and again, he only had 2 sacks last year, I would have liked to have seen them land a Trent Cole.
Certainly would be nice to see them get that kind of a pass rusher like a guy in Trent Cole. Mary Kay, let me ask you, you keep talking about the cornerback position, and I know the Browns now linked to Revis, talk about Buster Watkin. You don't think that they feel okay if you go into the season, you've got Hayden at one corner, you got Kaywan Williams, who played very effectively in the slot last year, and you've got Gilbert and Dazier to compete for that other corner spot. You know, Gilbert working out with Hayden this offseason. I thought Dazier looked very good when he got an opportunity in, and just, you know, you got to pay Tashawn Gibson at some point. So cost-wise, it might make sense to roll with what they've got there and maybe bring in a cheaper veteran as opposed to a high-profile guy, because if those guys can start, you're in pretty good shape at corner.
Well, you know what? They must really have a lot of faith that Justin Gilbert is going to live up to his first-round draft status this year, and that Pierre is really going to take that next step up, and that Kaywan can stay healthy. I think that's part of it. Kaywan has to be able to stay healthy and stay on the field. But you're right. They have good young cornerbacks. And, of course, everyone knows what Joe Hayden's capable of. So I think that they can get by. However, there's a few unknowns in there, again, and I mentioned them. You know, one is, can Justin be the guy that they thought he was? That's the whole key right there. If Justin can live up to number 8, then they'll be good to go.
Mary Kay, when it comes to the draft and this team, obviously you have to see how free agency sorts itself out first, but do you think that this team has done it wide receiver after the Hartline signing, or do you think it'll be something attacked via the draft or continuing in free agency with a guy perhaps like a Dwayne Bowe set to be released tomorrow?
Yeah, I could see them going after a Dwayne Bowe. The other thing is we haven't even mentioned Miles Austin. Now, I know originally they wanted to re-sign Miles Austin. I don't know where that stands right now, but I really liked Miles last year. It seemed like every time I looked up, he was catching a pass on third down, and it was going,
Money Miles.
You know, yeah, I mean, and going for first. So he was a clutch receiver, almost never dropped a pass. So I would still like to see them re-sign him. But, yeah, I could see them going after a Dwayne Bowe, but I also definitely can see them drafting a good receiver. I think they really need to surround Josh McCown with as many weapons as they possibly can. And there are plenty of good receivers in this draft. You don't necessarily have to spend 12 or 19 on one of them. I think you can still get some good ones in rounds 2 and 3.
Ed Dixon is who you mentioned at the tight end position. That cannot be the solution, at least in my mind, if Jordan Cameron leaves. What do you think the Browns are thinking at that spot?
Well, it's not a super strong draft for tight ends. But there are some good ones. I talked to one of them a converted quarterback by the name of Blake Bell from Oklahoma. The Browns have mm-hmm. spent a little time talking to him. I do think that they're going to have to look hard in the draft. Now, would they go for a Max Williams from Minnesota? I don't know if you want to, he might end up going in the first round, and I don't know that they can spend a first rounder on one. But there's a number of good tight ends, and I do think that you will probably see them draft one of these guys. I just don't know which one they have their eye on yet.
Mary Kay Cabot, keep it tuned to her on Twitter, at Mary Kay Cabot. She's the one who broke the Darrell Revis Browns link, and it'll be interesting to see if that plays out, because that certainly would be a lot of fun to see Revis and Hayden out there at cornerback. That would be a nightmare. Nobody would want to come play. Nobody would want to come throw the football against this Browns defense. Mary Kay, thanks for the information, and we'll talk with you again soon.
Sounds good. Thanks, guys.
All right. When we come back, we're going to open up the phone lines, 216-578-0850. We'll hear some of that sound from Mike Pettine at the Cleveland Auto Show last night that we referenced here. And still to come, we will dip into Ken Levick, Dolphins beat reporter from ESPN 106.3 in West Palm Beach, to talk about Hartline, his 2,000-yard seasons in Miami. What happened last year? Was it scheme? Was it a decline in his performance? We'll get Ken's take on that at 2:05 p.m. Eastern here on ESPN 850 WKNR.